640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Mayor Rubin in New York. In Maui, the death toll stands at 115, but good news about the missing list of 388 names. The FBI said Friday more than 100 of those on the list or their relatives came forward to say they're safe. CBS's Ben Tracy reports that's being vetted now.
Every day I find out one more of my friends is missing. One more of my friend's little child is missing.
Eddie Garcia is worried that many of the unaccounted for might never be found in the ashes of Lahaina.
So I can't even imagine for the people who lost their children and just don't know where the people who are missing and when they're going to show up or if they're not going to show up.
After a nearly 24-hour long delay, three astronauts and a cosmonaut are set to launch to the International Space Station at 3:27 a.m. Eastern Time for a six-month stay. Our Peter King is at Kennedy Space Center.
American Dragon Commander Jasmine Mugbelli says she's wanted to be an astronaut since sixth grade. And if there was any doubt that she could be a role model for girls, that was dispelled quickly by the young daughter of one of her astronaut classmates.
She saw the women in my class, there were six of us in our blue flight suits, and the first thing she said was, wow, mommies can be astronauts too.
Mugbelli's crewmates are from Russia, Japan, and Denmark. They'll be greeted by three Russians, three Americans, and an astronaut from the United Arab Emirates when they arrive on station early Sunday. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Hundreds of thousands don't have power in Michigan and Ohio, where there's storm damage and at least five people dead from powerful weather Thursday. And extreme heat once again grips Phoenix this weekend.
The National Weather Service in Phoenix warns the metropolitan area and parts of south central Arizona could see potentially record-breaking temperatures this weekend. Areas of southeast California may also be impacted. Forecasters say an unseasonably strong ridge of high pressure will expand across the southwest, leading once again to temperatures 110 degrees or higher. The excessive heat is expected to last through Tuesday. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
All 19 defendants have surrendered in the Georgia 2020 election interference case, including former President Trump. CBS's Nicole Killian tells us what happens next in the case.
Another defendant, Sidney Powell, is also asking for a speedy trial. Meantime, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows wants to move his case out of Fulton County to federal court. A hearing on his request is set for Monday.
There's a wildfire outbreak in Louisiana fueled by hot and dry weather. There's at least 25 fires burning. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/...
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right, real question. Do you lie on your driver's license about your height and your weight? 844-967-2789, because at least the silliest take I think anyone can have from the already viral, already historic mugshot of number 45 yesterday is that, really? You weigh 215 pounds? It sounded so mean, but I literally read that. I was like, wait, what? Because I'm thinking of Mike, my husband, who's pretty trim, yeah, who's also 6'3",
yeah,
and is 215 pounds.
I would not say I lie on my driver's license. I just stopped updating it many years ago.
Got it.
There you go.
So at one point,
omission.
I was this weight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was not a lie once.
Celebrities, they're just like us.
Exactly.
But yes, indeed, he described himself as 6'3", 215 pounds. Strawberry blonde hair, and now we have it. We have his first mugshot, and across the political spectrum, people are really enjoying having it. I saw The Onion put out a joke last night that I laughed out loud from. It's like a stock image photo of like a young, actually strawberry blonde, bearded and haired man waiting in front of a computer with his hands in front of his face, just like anxious.
Yeah.
And the headline from The Onion is, "Nation's liberals anxiously waiting with unzipped pants to jerk off to Trump mugshot."
Good morning, everybody.
But it's like, what kind of unifying thing has there been that is both liberals and Trump, like Trump supporters, embracing this mugshot, right?
Yeah, I mean, one side gets to be like, yeah, we got him. We have an unflattering picture. I'm sorry, there have been unflattering pictures for decades.
Well, mugshots are never flattering. Like, but we saw all of the ones that came in the day before. And, yeah, like, there's a reason why Tom Ford, the designer?
Yeah, yeah.
Will not eat in a restaurant if there is overhead lighting.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right.
It's very unflattering.
Yeah. So he only goes to restaurants where the lit from the floor up.
Well, no, or there's like lamps.
Oh, I see. So it's mood lighting.
Yes.
But the other side too is like, yeah, he did it somehow. He got caught and he's gonna be. You know, it's the excitement on both sides is just kind of ridiculous. At the end of the day, we're a country whose president has been indicted like a lot.
Well, indicted 4 times with 91 counts.
Yeah.
And even the first time was unprecedented.
Yeah. So I mean, enjoy your comedy for a moment, but let's just also get back to reality.
Fair. It's Friday. I just didn't want to get too serious.
I'm not on a Friday. Here's the thing: I'm here to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm here to be good.
This
time,
show is
baby.
Here to be fun.
But also, I'm
supposed
just
to be.
Remember, the more you know.
Oh, speaking of that, maybe we'll do this next week. I was scrolling through. So after like a 13-hour day with the debate on Wednesday, I was very excited to just veg out and not do much. And so sometimes when that is what's on the schedule is a lot of TikTok consumption.
Oh, boy.
And I found a 2-minute compilation of basically all of the, like, produced by vignettes from the 90s. So like The Simpsons. So it's like you think about all the shows and when the credits roll and then it ends.
Yeah.
And it was like the most nostalgic, like, 2 minutes I've had in a very long time.
Was it like a little hug of like, I'll take you
back?
Yeah,
it was like a hug from your childhood of all like Touchstone pictures and all of the different things that we watched as kids and the production vignette after it. And it was like, oh, yeah, just like a Touchstone in the back of your brain.
Put on your cross-color gear, kids. Yeah. We're taking a stroll down memory lane.
Yes. But in back to the mugshot. But Trump's mugshot immediately took the throne in the Hall of Fame as famous arrest photos. I mean, I'm trying to think of this now in the same way, you know, like college posters had Frank Sinatra's mugshot. Like, what are some of the other Johnny Cash's mugshot? Who else's mugshot is like a poster?
Oh, James Brown. Well, that's not a poster, but it's like more funny.
That one's more infamous because it's like Gary Busey's.
Yeah.
I'm talking about ones where like people are. It's like they put it on their wall because they're like, yeah, he's a rebel. But it spread across the internet within seconds of being released. There was two. There was one that was fake, and there was one that was real. That I don't know why the purpose of the fake one, because it actually looked pretty similar to the real fake one. The real one looked pretty similar.
The real one, just he was tanner in the fake one.
In the fake one?
Yeah. Elvis Presley being arrested, David Bowie, Tim Allen when he got arrested.
Did they make that into a poster?
I'm sure they made it into a poster. Yeah, I'm looking at a poster right now. It's in Etsy, so. Rolling Stone, members of the Rolling Stones. Oh my gosh. How could I forget? What's his name? Narcos.
Pablo Escobar.
With a beautiful smile on his face, like I'm gonna be out before the flashbulb goes off.
Are the cocaine hippos still rocking?
What?
Do you remember hearing about this?
No.
He used to hide cocaine in hippopotamuses,
and
they were still there.
Earlier
this year, I remember the headlines. They were like moving them or something, and I don't remember what happened to them. Okay. But there's such a thing as a cocaine hippo, not to be confused with cocaine bear. But yes, and the bigger I think so on Wednesday, as we were predicting stuff that was going to happen for the night. One of the things I was thinking was beyond Trump obviously not going to the debate and also having his own interview scheduled to air on X, formerly known as Twitter, with Tucker Carlson, I had predicted that Wednesday night he was going to go back on Twitter as another distraction.
Yeah.
I was a day late. He is now back on Twitter as of to tweet his own mugshot. Again.
Control the narrative.
Control the narrative, but also, like I'm saying, like, to like take back, like to reclaim the mugshot. And so he's tweeting it out. We got, and I think Elon retweeted it saying next level.
Oh my God, you're.
But unlike the criminal cases against ex-president, the mugshot has the potential to unite people across the political spectrum under this one shared goal of not only just enjoying it, but also making money off of it. This is being called Etsy's Vendors Super Bowl. Online sellers prepped designs in advance to quickly cash in on people's desires to absolutely own their political enemies through T-shirts. For months before the real mugshot was taken, people with rudimentary canvas skills had been selling loads of fake mugshot merchandise to MAGA supporters and haters alike. Plus, Trump's presidential campaign will almost certainly use his mugshot as marketing collateral. In April, the Trump campaign marketed its own Not Guilty T-shirts and mugs featuring a fake mugshot, which helped to raise more than $10 million since his first visit to criminal court. Will you get Trump merch?
No.
844-967-2789. For whether you hate him or you love him, are you getting Trump merch? I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789.
I will buy Trump merch on one condition. That's independently made and goes to artists who are cool. You know, like that kind of art. I'm not buying a thing from his store.
No.
But if there's some cool artist who has it on a tote bag with some snarky comment, I'll give you my $35.
I just typed in, I'm on Etsy, which originally was very much independent artists. There's now a lot of not. But I'm just trying to see Trump mugshot. Let's see what comes up immediately. Yeah. Drop shipping, man. That goes fast. And there's not even stuff that's necessarily that creative. It's just indicted mugshot laminated sticker. There's a lot of mugs.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of t-shirts. Those are the most keychains. Pretty much anything you can print a picture on. Koozie? Would you get a Trump mugshot koozie?
Depending on what it said. It has to say something though. It can't just be his picture, because if I just have a koozie with his picture, I don't want people to think I support him. I want something snarky and mean about it too.
How about a 9-picture grid of the different folks who have now turned themselves in the last 2 days that says the RICO bunch? Would you wear that?
No.
No?
Nope. No, because once again, there's no delineation. People don't know enough about RICO law to know how you fall on the side. So once it has to have clear, snarky commentary.
What if it was his mugshot, and then the text said, I just want 11,780 votes?
That's funny. That comes close to maybe.
Have you seen, if you've seen any funny Trump merch in the last 24 hours using the mugshot, I would love to hear what you've found so far. Yes. 844-967-2789. Thoughts on him getting back on Twitter, Greg Bach?
I'm surprised it took this long. Like, I'm really surprised it took this long for him to do it. I thought he'd throw a conniption fit at first when they let him back on, and then he kind of slowly. But yeah, I'm like, all right, cool. I mean, it's already a fire of total like chaos in there, so it's not like he's making it that much worse.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you think? Do you care? Do you even?
Nah. So
I fight with staying on Twitter or not all the time.
I know, so do I. But I do think it'll be interesting, because I thought he was under contract with Truth Social in general, even though it's his.
Yeah.
Like, because it obviously loses almost all of its value if he's splitting, like, if he's not going to be doing as much there as he is on Twitter.
Yeah.
Doesn't that just tank?
Well, that's maybe he's just on there like a little bit. You know, maybe the real fire is on Truth Social and on
the real fire.
The real fire.
Bring the real fire. All right. Well, if you are going to buy any Trump merch, if you've seen any funny Trump merch that you would maybe not buy, but you just find entertaining, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. We'll be back right after this.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your Realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a low of 62. Winds out of the north around 5 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 70. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 55. High temperatures reach up to 72. Sunday, under partly cloudy skies. 78 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board today. Happy Friday, August 25th. I'm officially a month out because my I'm getting induced on September 27th.
Induced
for my baby?
You're pregnant?
Looking at the date now, I was like, oh man, that is official. Like official. This week is Sunday will officially be a month.
Did you say you wanted to get induced, or did the doctor say we're going to do this?
The doctor said we're going to do that. And we actually talked about this on a public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, which I realized after the show was done. I was like, oh, we didn't say why we didn't do public service announcement yesterday. Totally missed that. We had such a great day of engagement yesterday that I think got caught up in the texts and the calls and everything post-debate. But Dr. Lyerly had to be a doctor, and she had surgery during her time slot yesterday, which is why she was not here. But she will be back next week for our typical 11 a.m. public service announcement segment. But I'd asked her the day after we had talked about it with my doctor, and apparently there was a study, a pretty comprehensive, large study done as far as the medical benefits of inducing at 39 weeks. Between like lower stillbirth rates, lower C-section rates, it stays more sanitary inside of there because at a certain point, they start going to the bathroom in your uterus. Did you know that?
Now I do.
Now you do. Now
the more you know. I gotta download the more you know. I gotta download that.
And I'm actually kind of excited about it because there's a part of me that's like, I've seen so many of my friends be a week overdue or 10 days overdue, and they end up having to get induced anyways. And then it's just that like waiting game. And I'm a fairly, there's a lot of things I'm chill about, but like I'm already pretty anxious to meet her and I'm excited. And so knowing that like, all right, this is happening by this date and I'm fine with it. So anyways, we were talking about Trump merch and Tony on the live stream says that he's done. He says, I've been burned by my Miller time, and I think that's it for me on merch. What do you mean by burned? Like, because nothing ended up coming from it, I guess? So you don't feel like you can wear it because then you get made fun of? I feel like I got made fun of a little bit. We made a clip out of an exchange we had on Wednesday. I was on Todd Elba's show with Trigvi Olsen, who was a senior advisor for the Lincoln Project, who was kind enough, the Lincoln Project partnered with us on a lot of the event on Wednesday. And between Trigvi and Rick Wilson, like, it was fascinating getting to hear them talk as far as two guys who know where a lot of the GOP bodies are buried. But we were joking because besides Tucker's interview with Trump on Wednesday, prior to that, I hadn't realized, I was talking about how I hadn't realized that, like, despite his first, like, big splash when he premiered his show on Twitter and how many views he got at first, and people were kind of like, oh, like, this is, like, he's going to rebound, like, he doesn't need Fox, yada, yada. And then I had heard recently that he was just, like, hemorrhaging viewership. And so I made a joke about how that's like, oh, it's like the same thing as Threads, and, which is also hemorrhaging users and active users at that. But then we posted it as a clip, and we got kind of roasted because, like, Tucker Carlson definitely had like 220 million views or something like that on his Trump interview. So,
well,
hashtag outdated takes.
Kristen, don't take on those hot takes if you can't handle the repercussion. And oh, it didn't work. I tried to play the music. Darn it. I was trying to bring in the More You Know thing because I love that so much. Darn, that didn't work. Oh, well, you know.
All right. Well, no other texts on? Maybe people are not interested in the merch drop.
No, I guess,
seems like.
I mean, the thing is that the indictments and the surrendering and everything was so hyped for so many days that when it finally happened, you're like, I literally looked at the picture and went, oh, and then I moved on. It didn't provide me any great joy. I'm sorry. I wish it did. I really wish it did. But we've seen it coming for so long now that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really, it did nothing for me either. Yeah. As far as I wasn't excited. It was there. And it was one of those things where it's like, well, I guess we'll talk about it tomorrow. But that's about the amount of enthusiasm I had for it. But I also, like, was it a mistake for them to have it at all? Because prior to this, the three previous times, they did not do a mugshot.
Yeah.
So, like, this is the fourth set of criminal charges in 5 months. But, you know, prior to this, for New York and Miami and D.C., when he surrendered, there was no there's no perp walk, and I don't think there was any mugshots either. And so it's like, was this potentially a mistake? Besides, I'm sure the people who are making money off of it don't think it was a mistake. But it's also seemingly his campaign doesn't think it was a mistake because they're using it. But I think from the side of the prosecutors, and was it, you know, does it give them more fodder? But we got to go. We have one call, so we want to squeeze that in before we're going to go, because we're going to move on after this, because William Walter is going to be here for our Civic Media Crossover Fridays. Cindy, what do you have to say about any thoughts on the Trump merch? Are you going to buy anything?
Well, I actually have had a bumper sticker in my car for a couple months now that has a picture of his face behind bars, and it says Trump for Leavenworth 2024.
Nice. So do you think you're going to get an updated one with the real mugshot?
Yeah, I should probably do that, or at least get a bigger one, because, I mean, this whole lock her up is coming back to bite him. It's lock him up now, and I think it's just poetic justice that this is coming back to bite him.
It is funny how that works, right?
Yep, and I'd be careful about what I buy for merch, because I hope none of that money is going to go back and fund his, you know, get me out of jail.
His campaign, So buyer beware as far as who is selling. But thanks for the call, Cindy. All right. Yep. Well, when we come back, William Walter, co-host of Town Call, which is on 12:15 to 1 p.m. every day right after this show, is going to join us for our crossover Fridays, where we talk to different Civic Media hosts and get their thoughts on the best, the worst, and the weirdest stories from the week. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Some 100 people on the list of 388 missing in Maui are reportedly safe. The FBI's Stephen Merrill says they're working to verify that.
We are getting a great deal of information, which is great news. And so these numbers are probably going to change quickly.
A new crew of four is headed to the International Space Station from the Kennedy Space Center. CBS News space correspondent Bill Harwood.
Crew 7 astronauts are going to replace four other flyers who've been aboard the lab for the past 6 months. There'll be a 5-day handover period.
Liftoff is 3:27 a.m. Eastern Time. A tropical storm is forming off the Yucatan Peninsula. Chris Warren is with the Weather Channel.
Exactly where still remains to be seen. Either scenario with a couple of the big forecast models we look at point at the potential for some serious flooding with some of this rainfall.
And Florida may be in its sights next week. CBS News Brief, I'm Ara Rubin.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again!
And a defense that just...
Down he goes!
Won't...
Intercepted, he's gone!
Stop!
Another turnover forced!
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WRJN, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, Racine, and 98.1 FM.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and it is that time of the week when we invite one of our other Civic Media co-hosts or hosts to join us and do a little recap from the week and get their opinion on what the best, worst, and weirdest stories from the week were. And today we are joined by William Walter, co-host of Town Call. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, Kristen. I'm here. That's the hard part, right? Getting here. Though I do it
via from the safety of my home studio, so it wasn't too difficult. Traffic was not too bad today. It's a little hot out there, so I've been told. I would not know yet.
It's not. It's actually cooled off a lot compared to where it was the last 2 days. We had that. Did it rain up there near you last night? Because we got like a quick storm.
Yeah, so I have Thursday nights are softball for me, actually, and like 25 minutes before game time, it downpoured at my house for like 15 minutes. I was like, oh, there's no way we're gonna play. 5 minutes from me, not a drop. So game was on.
So there you go. All right. Well, before we jump into the headlines, for people who do not know you, maybe they jump off of this call, maybe listen to this as a podcast, or not familiar with Town Call, tell us a little bit about Town Call, and then tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so Town Call, 12:15 to 1, I co-host with our good friend of the show, Luke Mathers. It's a lot of fun. We're trying to bring a new spin to homegrown radio where we kind of let the callers lead the show. They are the talking points. They are the... I don't even know the way I would phrase this, but it's based around how the community could communicate amongst these kind of issues. Everybody knows what I think about these issues already. I want to hear what you think about it. I also serve as the policy research director and lead training organizer for our Wisconsin Revolution. So some boots on the ground organizing to go with our boots on the ground coverage of the GOP debate on Wednesday. It was a lot of fun.
That is awesome.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it is really fun. So we're very happy to have you on board at Civic Media. But let's dive in. I know you always do on Town Call. You and Luke Mathers, your co-host, do most Wisconsin headlines of the week. So I don't know if there's going to be overlap or you're previewing stuff that you already have picked out for your show today. But as far as what for you was the best headline or best story of the week?
Well, that's really interesting, Kristen. Words matter, right? We make that joke all the time. Most Wisconsin headline implies, you know, something that just screams, oh, this is Wisconsin. That's how we generally approach it, right? But best and worst and weirdest, now like, oh, you're throwing all these variables into the equation. I didn't even know where to start. There was so many efforts or attempts to find out and pick the best one. I have a bit of a Ben Shapiro debate lord strategy where I gish gallop Luke. I just throw 10,000 headlines at him because I'm not good at deciding what is or isn't a better or more Wisconsin.
You haven't
headline,
figured out so Aaron's like, criteria yet.
I got to work the ref a little bit. Luke has easy access to him, so it's easier for him to manipulate that. So I'll start with I feel like this is the free bingo square of the week, the low-hanging fruit, but it's too good to not cover. Whether I'm going to say it's the best or the weirdest, it would probably apply to both, but it is a very Milwaukee and very Wisconsin headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Our very own Milverine threw out the first pitch at Tuesday night's Brewer game. Come on, we knew that one was going to come up. Milverine's the man. He was able to get out there. He was able to get the crowd fired up, get the crowd energized a little bit, and then go out and toss out the first pitch against the Twins on Tuesday.
Did you get – I haven't seen the video of it. Did you watch the video of it? Was it a pretty good pitch?
The form – was there was a little bit of room for improvement, but
okay.
I've seen worse. Let's put it that way.
Okay, great. All right, so if that is your best headline of the week, what is your worst story of the week?
Worst story of the week was a little bit more difficult because, again, the Milverine story was, come on, that just screams Milwaukee and Wisconsin in particular. I didn't really know where to go with the worst because I didn't know if that meant, like, the most evil.
This is all up for interpretation.
Malicious. Yes. I think that's what's fun about it, right? Is everybody's going to approach that differently. I took a little bit of a different approach then, and I went with I was perusing the Wisconsin subreddit the past couple of days, and I found a really interesting we'll say rant about legalizing skateboarding in Wisconsin.
Is it illegal?
Well, so I didn't know, and I had to do some follow-up. The individual in the post was talking about how they're not sure if this was allowed in the Wisconsin subreddit, but there's a bill being circulated right now with – or requiring, excuse me, co-sponsorship that would reverse state law that makes riding a skateboard illegal on any Wisconsin roads, including safe municipal neighborhood streets. The reason for the reverse is simple. First off, things like rollerblades that are currently up to local municipalities should apply to skateboards as well. So I went and did some digging. According to skateboardwisconsin.com, the law that makes skateboarding a crime, Wisconsin Statute 346.78, made it illegal to ride a skateboard on any public road in the state of Wisconsin. This law went into effect on April 20th of 1984, Kristen. So this is not new news, evidently. That was almost 10 years before I was even born. As part of the passage of Senate Bill 204 or the 1983 Wisconsin Act 243 that reads, play vehicles are not to be used on roadway. No person riding upon any play vehicle may attach the same or himself or herself to any vehicle upon a roadway or go upon any roadway except while crossing a roadway at a crosswalk. The definition of skateboards was switched to play vehicle according to Statute 340.01 that bans skateboards from roads along with coasters, roller skates, sleds, toboggans, unicycles, and toy vehicles. A change in the definition in 1994. So I was only a year old at that point, but that's more in my timeline. Removed inline skates from the group of play vehicles and left it up to municipalities to decide where inline skates can be used. News to me. This is all news to me. But
are you a skateboarder?
In the Wisconsin, I am not.
Okay.
But I feel like growing up, particularly in middle school, a lot of my friends were skateboarders. I feel like they were skating all the time, particularly down, our neighborhood streets. Evidently, that's illegal, and it's up to local municipalities to determine whether or not they're going to punish it. But I thought that was weird. Maybe I should have submitted that for my weirdest one.
I was gonna say, what about that? Do you makes it the worst out of everything? What makes that the worst story of the week to you?
It's frustrating. It's like over the top, unnecessary. We talk frequently about legislators kind of overstepping their boundaries and or not focusing on things that should be focused on. And I don't know. There are much more important issues than who is using a toy vehicle on the street. And it would make me cry, which was what my other worst headlines of the week were.
All right, let's get another worst headline. I feel like that's a pretty weak worst headline because it's not even really a headline. It was just like a discussion on Reddit.
Well, all right. You're gonna get me to gish gallop it again then, Kristen. So lining up headline number two, and you asked for it. So don't fault me for this. Giannis Antetokounmpo won't sign extension until commitment from the Bucks. This was the ESPN piece, and I think it's based off the New York Times piece that came out earlier in the week. Giannis Antetokounmpo wants it all, even if it's not in Milwaukee. Giannis evidently has made it particularly clear to a number of reporters, both at the local level and at the national level, that while he wants to be a Dirk or a Kobe, which he specifically mentioned as a individual who spends their entire career, if it's 20 plus years, however long it may be, with one franchise, he can't make that commitment to Milwaukee until he's sure that Milwaukee is ready to make that commitment to him. The quote that I saw from him was basically, I'm sacrificing my time, spending my time away from my family, and I expect other people to be willing to do the same. Which is more than fair. More than fair.
No, I know, and I wonder who that's aimed
at.
That
worries me. It sounds like he's taking shots, right?
Well, a little bit of like, well, what is that? Because it's like, is it just more money? Is it what, or is there? Because like he, from what I heard, he like he basically got the green, like he got to green light the new coach. So as far as like giving the man what he wants, like what is he not getting right now? And I'm curious as far as that line of who needs to be sacrificing their time to match his energy that he is referencing in a veiled statement.
Well, as you noted, he had a say in the coach. Maybe it's a shot at the GM that he doesn't think they're building the roster in a way that can be competitive. But we were the number one seed in the East last year. And in 21, when we won the title, we were, the three seed? So it's, I don't know. It's really difficult to discern what he's getting at there. I don't think it's about money, because remember, he did sign the Supermax extension, and the current franchise will always have the ability to offer more money through that Supermax extension in an effort to kind of curtail some of the superstars immediately jumping ship to larger, more established networks. Are the Lakers in the future? Are the Knicks in the future? A lot of the Twitter comments on it were, of course, everybody just assumes they're going to go to the Lakers, but Giannis, we need you, buddy. We need you.
We do. We painted a big mural. Stay here, but we'll see. We'll see how long he stays. It would be great if he had. I mean, I feel like, how many players are left? And if anyone out there, if you are a huge NBA fan, trivia nerd, maybe you know this, but is there any current players who are, besides Giannis, like who's still a one team player that's a superstar?
I mean, Devin Booker has been with the Suns.
Has only been with the Suns. Okay.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Because obviously, the notorious one is, you know, Kobe, who.
Damian Lillard's been with Portland his whole career.
Okay.
In terms of like top end, so Jokic would be the other comparable answer. Embiid has been with Philly his entire career. As you get older, it's a little more difficult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the teams are going to draft new young superstars to be the future of the franchise. You look at a guy like Chris Paul, who 10 years ago might have been the image of, oh, I want to be a one-career player. But then as soon as the Pelicans decided to go in a different direction, he jumped ship once. And then once he jumped ship once, it's easy to go twice, three times, four times. So I don't know. But in terms of the you know, tippy top of the league, Jokic and Giannis are probably the big two in that regard.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we got less than 3 minutes left, so let's get to your weirdest headline. And then we got a funny text that we'll close out the segment with.
Well, now I'm thinking, I messed up my order here, and I probably should have went in the other direction. But for weirdest headline of the week, I got to give a shout out to the Wisconsin State Journal. This shouldn't be considered weird, but it's another one that's like, oh, so Wisconsin, because it's like, how was this allowed in the future, except that it was Wisconsin. So I'm glad they're finally doing something about it. Reading over from the Wisconsin State Journal, open drinking on ATVs would be banned in Wisconsin under bipartisan bill. Why that is not currently banned, I do not know, but the bill, SB 262, comes as advocates and some Wisconsin lawmakers seek to confront the high levels of drinking and alcohol-related crashes in Wisconsin. Under current law, all-terrain and utility vehicle drivers are prohibited from driving if they have a blood alcohol concentration of 0.08 or greater, but unlike in cars, open drinking is not explicitly prohibited on or in ATVs and UTVs.
That's interesting. Can't you get like open container like drinking while biking?
You can get an open container while walking.
Yeah, I was under the impression that like you can't be drinking in public, and I would imagine if you're on an ATV, isn't that drinking in public?
The amount of people I have to tell to not take their drinks walking outside the club, I'm like, and they like, why? I'm like, what do you mean why?
This isn't New Orleans. This isn't Bourbon Street.
What do you mean why? This is an issue that we're seeing a lot. I mean, last year, ATV and UTV drivers received 190 citations for driving while intoxicated, making it the fourth most cited offense related to those vehicles, according to the DNR. So,
well, there you go. All right, before we go, what text came through?
Wes from Middleton from the 608 said, sounds like this week is going to Luke again. Oh, Wes with the bird.
I'm catching strays everywhere, Wes. Seriously, brother?
Oh, no. All right, well, William Walter will still be here when we come back, and this will be fun because, Greg, I don't think you've ever had to do the headline quiz.
I did it once.
You did it once?
It was
a
fail.
Greg v. Will. Headlines. Let's see who wins. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 62 overnight. Under overcast skies, winds out of the north around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 70. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 55. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Sunday with highs around 72. 78 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are joined by William Walter, co-host of Town Call, which you can hear across the Civic Media Network every day from 12:15 to 1 p.m., and they would love for you to join the conversation and hear from you every day. Mostly Wisconsin headlines as far as stories that you can weigh in on. Do you guys do many national topics, or do you try to always pick something that's pretty local? Oh, you're muted.
Oh, my apologies. We try to lead local, but if there's a national story that has to be covered, sometimes there are stories that just have to be talked about.
I hear you, man. I hear you. So here's some stories that we did not cover this week. And so we always play a game with our guests on Fridays because, you know, we all are in the business of reading a lot of news. And so sometimes these are things that you may or may not have read while you were doing your research for the week. So we have seven questions. Six are multiple choice. We go back and forth. So you get three, Greg gets three, and then the seventh question I will read, and whoever answers correctly the fastest gets that point. Since you were the guest, Will, would you like to go first or second?
Well, Kristen, I haven't been out of high school that long, but
whatever.
Multiple choice tests again. Ugh, killing me. I'll go second. I'll defer.
All right. Greg Bach, you were up first then.
Yeah.
Which country became the first to land a spacecraft on the moon's south pole this week? Is it the USA, Russia, China, India?
India.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, man, I should have went first. I knew that without even the multiple choice questions.
All right. William Walter. Only one new car model in the United States is currently priced under $20,000. What is it? A Chevrolet Trailblazer, a Volkswagen Jetta, a Kia Rio, or a Mitsubishi Mirage?
Ah, man. Let's go with the Kia.
Unfortunately, no. It is a Mitsubishi Mirage.
No.
That was a story we did on this show. So had you listened to my show earlier this week, you would have gotten it.
The only thing that isn't a fantasy about that car is the price.
It's still $19,000, but
I guess it's cheap.
All right, here is a Wisconsin headline for you, Greg.
Okay.
I don't think you're good. I have faith in you.
What the heck?
And it's very specific, and it's one that I just found this morning. Considered a conservation success story in Wisconsin, what wild mammal has a growing population across the Badger State? Is it bobcats, American martens, Eastern spotted skunks, or native East Coast UW-Madison students?
Oh, you're funny, Christian. Brian. I'm going to go with C.
No, it's bobcats.
You know, bobcats was my first choice, but then I doubted myself. And can I have a half point for at least believing in the...
Never mind. It's all or nothing. But yeah, as of this morning, WPR reported bobcat population is growing in Wisconsin, but animals are still rare sight to see in the wild. All right, you have a chance to catch up, Will. Another Wisconsin headline. Which Wisconsin congressman climbed a cell tower to raise awareness for broadband issues? Is it Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman, Mark Buchan, Mike Gallagher?
Okay, I feel like you're baiting me with this one, because just from like a physical ability standpoint, the answer's got to be like Mike Gallagher, right?
Is that your final guess?
Yeah, it has to be. I'm not going to throw any shade at other individuals, but other individuals that I've met personally, I can't see them doing that.
Yes, you are right. Ding, ding, ding. 1-1. But yes, Green Bay congressman climbs cell tower to raise awareness for broadband issues.
I'll just put this out here. If unless there was a pancake breakfast, Glenn Grothman ain't climbing that.
I would love
to see that picture, though, because the picture associated, this is another WPR article, you know, he's in his, like, regalia of, like, look, he's about to go rock climbing, and, you know, he's a young, pretty fit guy. But, yes, trying to swap him out for Glenn Grothman doing a fairly physical, laborious task of climbing a cell tower would have been quite the sight to behold. All right, back to Greg. We're tied up 1-1.
Hello.
Which retail giant opened a 52,000 square foot store in downtown San Francisco? IKEA, Target, Home Depot, Walmart.
I'm going to go. Oh, man. I'm going to go with IKEA.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did it, everybody. I'm smart at guessing.
There you go. All right. Tie it up to go into the seventh question, Will. The voice of which iconic video game character announced their retirement? Lara Croft, Mario, Sonic. You don't want to hear the other ones?
I know the answer is Mario.
Okay. All right. We're going into the last question. Tie it up. It's me, Mario.
I don't know what the kids know nowadays.
All right. Wisconsin Republicans. Just a reminder. So whoever says it first and correctly will win. Because we play for keeps here.
Okay.
Wisconsin Republicans promise eliminating work permits for blank and blank year olds.
14 and 15 year olds.
There you go.
Oh.
William Walter, winner for the week.
I was going to say 7 and 8 year olds. more on cue for them, if you ask me.
Well.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. I was too
funny.
I was too busy running the show, everybody.
Because one of the things I keep getting like parenting advice advertised to me and all my like suggested things to follow on social media.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I actually want to look into is there's financial advice as far as like hiring your children.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
like,
oh,
yeah, you can pay your kids up to $12,000 a year so if you can have an LLC and a way to like. It's both a tax write-off and like savings for them.
Yep.
So, you know, do they need a work permit?
If you're working for an LLC, I say yeah. I would say yes.
So 7 and 8 year olds, work permits?
I wish my father hired me when I've been cutting the grass for all these years. Oof.
There you go. You just got to, see if you could actually get a paycheck versus, you know, allowance. But what else do you guys have coming
no
up today?
Sure. What's up?
So what else do you guys have coming up today? Just the headlines?
Oh,
anything else you're covering?
It's Friday. We take a similar route to As Goes Wisconsin. Fridays are fun. I want to make them as fun as possible. If we can get some good headlines, I want to hear some oh-so Wisconsin headlines from the people of Wisconsin, because they got to find better ones than me. I can find some of them, but evidently I'm not even looking at car models, so I'm behind.
All right. Well, William Walter, thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure to tune into Town Call at 12:15 Monday through Friday, where you will hear him and our good friend Luke Mathers. And they take your calls. So you should feel free to call in, make your voice heard, put your opinion on the line. But thank you for joining us, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you as well, Christian. Thanks for having me, Christian and Greg. Take it easy, party people.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, President of the Institute for Reforming Government, CJ Safer, is here to talk about Hayward. He spent some time up north, so we're going to hear what he has learned about the northern part of the state and also get his view from a conservative point of view, what he thought about Wednesday's debate. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.